You're listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Ben Rylan. Now, the seasoned listeners among you will know that on Wednesdays we talk television, and today we'll be discussing two female-led comedies from either side of the pond, The CW's Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which has just landed on Netflix, and BBC Three's Fleabag. I'm joined here in the studio by Alice Vincent, arts and entertainment writer for The Telegraph. Alice, welcome to the show. Now, before we get to our shows today, let's go through some of the week's TV industry headlines, starting with Amazon Prime. It's been a good week for them, having just acquired Steven Soderbergh's The Girlfriend Experience. And it's also announced that British comedy Catastrophe will be running for another two seasons too. It does seem that Amazon is going from strength to strength. They're ramping things up, aren't they, Alice?
They really are, yeah. It's interesting because when Amazon said they were going to start doing original content, it was kind of, or even when they came out as a streaming channel, it's very much like, oh god, they're going to try and take on Netflix, that'll never work. And then what they've done is they've been really smart by commissioning content that wouldn't necessarily have a natural home elsewhere, and this has happened by them putting out pilots which they let their viewer, they kind of crowdsource and they see which are the most popular, and then that means that things like Transparent get made. So it's the people deciding, and it ends up with some really innovative stuff.
Do you think that also helps to make people feel involved? So rather than necessarily getting the programs through that people also want to see, it also gives people some sort of feeling that they're part of what's happening as well, and therefore they'll actually want to watch the result of their actions.
Yeah, I mean, I think if your entire business model relies on people spending money, like a considerable amount of money as well, to watch TV and watch TV either through a smart TV or through their laptop, it's not like switch it on and go. You need to really involve your audience and listen to what they want. And clearly they've realised that there is this audience for things like Transparent and things like The Girlfriend Experience, which are a little darker, Mr. Robot as well. And it's working. And their timing's impeccable as well. I mean, they've dropped Girlfriend Experience just when everyone's binged their way through Orange is the New Black, and a couple of other major series have finished too.
Well, here's hoping that they can work a little bit more on their film library, which I have to say is still complete junk.
Not quite up to scratch.
Not at all. Let's move on now, because also this week it's been announced that Studio Hamburg, which is the leading German television and film production house, they're opening an arm here in London. Alice, do you think that we might start seeing Germany as somewhere to look out for on the small screen? I know we've seen some other countries around the world start to cross-pollinate their production services internationally as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think the potential for it is massive, in that we don't watch an awful lot of German TV outside of Germany at the moment. And I think what's really interesting is that they want to use British talent and British filmmaking on British soil, which is curious given recent events, but a promising sign nonetheless.
It is odd timing, isn't it?
But no, I mean, I'm all for it. As evidence has suggested, we've been lapping up Scandi-made TV, we've been loving French series, so why not?
It certainly does make sense. The country of Germany, of course, has plenty of talent in that regard. They used to be the leading production house for films a very long time ago as well. So let's move on now and talk about one of the latest additions to Netflix's lineup, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Now, this is the CW Network's musical sitcom that follows Rebecca Bunch, a New York lawyer who ups and leaves for Los Angeles in the pursuit of love. Let's hear a clip first.
What a cool-looking anime wig! And I've never seen a pretzel this big! And also, this guy Josh just happens to be here.
You seen this resume? Harvard, Yale, special skills, Mandarin. What the hell is she doing here?
What brings you to our lovely West Covina?
Just looking for a change, you know?
To be clear, I didn't move here for Josh. I just needed a change, because to move here for Josh, now that'd be strange. But don't get me wrong, if he asked for a date, I would totally be like, that sounds great.
Okay, so this definitely sounds like it's from the School of Disney Musicals, judging from the style of music that we just heard there.
It's all a bit Into the Woods, isn't it? Yeah.
Look, a lot of the series that come on Netflix seem to lend themselves quite well to binge watching. Mm. It almost feels as though we're not really talking about television series anymore. They've taken on some other form, this other kind of beast that we're still trying to tame.
Yeah.
What's the feeling when you're watching this program? program. I mean, the concept of a musical series is also a relatively modern phenomenon as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really weird. I mean, the other one that springs to mind is, as you say, like High School Musical. Like, we're in Disney territory here. Apart from when you watch Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and you realise it is incredibly rude and really subversive and actually quite an interesting narrative on feminism and women and... but all in a really light-hearted way. So, yeah.
Explain to me that, because I read in the description that it's... So it reinvents the desperate woman trope from a subversive feminist perspective. That's a bizarre descriptor for the series. Mm. So how does the feminism work its way into this musicalized, bite-sized TV format?
It's almost definitely through most of the songs. So, you know, the narrative isn't that different from, say, something like Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, which is a Netflix original. You've got this kind of woman entering her new world. She's a kooky 20-something, blah, 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 blah. You know, on that level, you could compare it to anything from Sex and the City to, I don't know, Mary Poppins or something. But the difference is that in these music videos, what Rachel Bloom, who's the star, does is... kind of, there's this whole sexy R&B video where she just talks about all the ridiculous procedures women go through to go on a date, for instance. And yeah, the songs are just really, really funny. They're very well done. And maybe it's because I'm a woman in my 20s, I get a lot of the points. But I think they're there for someone with any kind of sense to understand, really.
So talk to me about how the music works then. I was trying to think back to how this musical television series started. The earliest one I can think of, in my lifetime at least, would be the special episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I was not expecting that reference.
I can't think of who had this idea before that, but it's almost like something started it. And then everything else has kind of followed.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is something that Glee really did very, very well. But obviously that's within the context of a school Glee club, so it's understandable. Whereas this, you're kind of... it is like a musical in that you're just watching some dialogue and then one person will sing into a song. And I am no musical fan, but it works because it's funny and it's really, really knowing. So it kind of hams up that cheesiness with a kind of wink in its eye. And the interesting thing to note is that before Netflix acquired Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, those videos were actually available on YouTube. So I found myself like obsessively watching these sort of musical bits on YouTube.
It's like, whet your appetite quite
yeah,
well.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm thoroughly into binging on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
So you're not, you just said that you're not a fan of musicals at all. So are you one of those people that if you watch a musical film, you always find yourself wondering why they're singing in real life?
Yeah. And like,
you find that confusing.
Yeah. It just doesn't make any sense. But here, because it's so silly, you're just like, well, obviously that's what they're doing. Of course, she's making an amusing point with a riff on a J-Lo video.
The silliness gives way to very, very clever scripting. That is good to know. So Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, that's out now on Netflix. The second season will be on the CW network from the 21st of October. So you can start binging on that right now if you very well please. Now, from one funny female to another now, on the TV show Fleabag, which is produced by BBC Three and Amazon Prime, the show's creator and lead Phoebe Waller-Bridge has been hailed as the British Leonard Dunham by critics. Now, that's always a bit troubling, isn't it, when someone is hailed as the British or the international version of someone else.
Yeah.
What has earned her that badge?
I think there are just so few, you know, witty, smart women in their 20s who are writer, producer, actresses, directors, who, you know, confront such crazy issues as sex and independence that, depressingly, we only have so few to compare them to.
I'm sensing a bit of a jab at lazy critics there, Alice.
Yeah, I mean, that's slightly self-sacrificing, but I wouldn't say that she's the British Lena Dunham, not because I don't adore Lena Dunham, I do, but just that we can have two women in the world who create good subversive comedy about being in their 20s and not have to compare them, maybe.
So that's interesting. We've got two programs that we've talked about so far that you've termed as subversive comedy, and both of them taking quite a female-centred approach in the issues they cover. How does... I mean, obviously this one's going to differ because I'm assuming there are no songs in this random musical numbers.
No.
Unfortunately. Okay, so what are some of the topics things that are being covered here, and do you think it does it take a bit of a different approach to the approach taken by the former?
Yeah, so I really think that the topics aren't dissimilar, and that's why the comparison to Girls by Lena Dunham has happened, because we're talking about, you know, sex and self-destructive activity and a lack of family support and being skint in a big city. But it's more that what Waller-Bridge does is quite reminiscent of, you know, how Peep Show came onto the scene and suddenly they did all that view from, like, from behind the cameras, and everyone was like, whoa, this is a new thing in comedy. And Waller-Bridge breaks the fourth wall, so she's always doing these monologues throughout. So if you don't like her, then you probably shouldn't watch it, because it's basically all her. But it's very funny, and it sort of it lends it this diaristic trope.
Now, I understand that this is being broadcast on the new digital-only BBC Three. Do you think that plays into the sort of issues it's trying to tackle here? It has a little bit more freedom to throw some things around that maybe wouldn't fit so well in what we might term as traditional broadcast world.
Right. And yeah, and I think that's the case because, you know, Waller-Bridge does take massive risks, you know. Again, a bit like Girls, it opens with a very gratuitous sex scene right at the start of the entire season. And you wouldn't necessarily get that being broadcast on BBC One, so to speak. But also, BBC Three exists to target a younger audience, so it makes sense that this would work that way. But also, most people have smart TVs now, which is why things like Amazon Prime and stuff are taking off. And it's worth noting that Amazon Prime are being quite risky by taking this. But clearly, as they know, you know, the likes of Catastrophe, which is another British sitcom, it works for them.
So what's going to happen then, do you think, when we've got the newer services, the new digital-only or the new online-only services that do have the freedom to tackle these sorts of issues? They can bring out these shows that perhaps are a little bit riskier, can attract a bit of a young, modern following. What then happens to the traditional broadcasters that are still afraid to make those sorts of moves? Do they start being a little bit braver and coming up with their own edgier ideas, or do you think perhaps they will just be left behind?
I mean, there's always going to be a trickle-down effect. So, I mean, the stuff we're watching on TV now is so much different from what we'd be watching even 10 years ago. I don't know whether they'll be left behind, because there's still a lot of people in the home counties who are down to watch Britain's Got Talent on Friday night, but but yeah, hopefully.
I had no idea that people did actually sit down to watch Britain's Got Talent on
Friday. Oh, yeah. It's massive, massive. But essentially, it just means that there's more. With the rise of digital channels, there are more interesting things for everyone.
Indeed. Fleabag will be available to watch on BBC Three in the UK from the 21st of July, and we do expect it to be available on Amazon Prime in the US too. And that indeed brings us to the end of today's show. Thanks to my guest today, Alice Vincent. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Ben Ryland. My producer was Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time tomorrow when we'll be talking books. But for now, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.